from WILL's Illinois Newsroom. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moldine. It's Monday, August 30th. Coming up, school is back in session across the state. We'll discuss COVID testing in schools with an epidemiologist coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinois lawmakers return to Springfield this week to revise new legislative maps Democrats pushed through the General Assembly just a few months ago. Ahead of that vote, legislators met over the weekend for another marathon round of hearings. Hannah Meisel has more.
Instead of waiting for COVID-delayed official census data this spring, Democrats went ahead and drew new political district boundaries with alternative data. The majority party didn't want to risk blowing a midsummer deadline that would give Republicans a 50-50 chance to control the map-making process. Now that official census data has been released, a federal judge overseeing litigation over the maps warned Democrats they need to make fixes to make sure districts have approximately equal population sizes. But GOP Representative Tim Butler of Springfield isn't holding out hope that Republicans or community advocacy groups will get any more input this time around.
The majority continues down this path in an overtly partisan manner to try to enact partisan maps for their political gain.
Butler was one of two lawmakers to attend a redistricting hearing in person Friday morning, which adjourned after no community members showed up either. I'm Hannah Meisel.
Police in many downstate cities stopped black drivers at much higher rates than white motorists last year. Cities including Bloomington, Carbondale, Champaign, Normal, Peoria, Springfield, and Urbana were above the state average, according to the recently released Illinois Department of Transportation's annual traffic stop report. Bloomington police saw the rate of black drivers stopped at a rate six times more than whites, a number that increased from the previous year. Interim Police Chief Greg Scott says that's too high.
We'll continue to do our cultural diversity training and our implicit bias training, and we're recruiting a diverse workforce. We'll monitor that, and certainly if there's something that comes up that gives warning, we'll investigate and take appropriate action.
Overall, the state's rate changed little from a year prior. The report says both Champaign and Urbana police stopped black drivers about five times more often than white drivers. Family members and police are looking for a missing Illinois State University graduate student from Danville. 25-year-old Jelani Day was last seen on a security camera at ISU's Bone Student Center last Tuesday morning. No one has heard from him since. Authorities found his vehicle in a wooded area in LaSalle County, about 60 miles north of Normal. Day is a black male. He's 6'2", 180 pounds, with short black hair and brown eyes with some facial hair. We have a picture of him at our website, illinoisnewsroom.org. If you have any information about his whereabouts, please call police. Public health officials reported nearly 200 new COVID-19 cases in Champaign County over the weekend. Nearly 1,000 county residents are actively fighting the virus. That's compared to just 40 earlier this summer. The statewide indoor mask mandate issued by Governor Pritzker last week goes into effect today. Still to come, the University of Illinois' saliva-based coronavirus test is available to all K-12 schools in the state, but only about a quarter of them have signed up to use it. More on that coming up next on 217 Today.
The 21st is where Illinois gathers for news, information, and daily conversation on politics, the pandemic, culture, and everything in between. I'm Brian Mackey, inviting you to join the conversation anytime, day or night, by leaving us a voicemail. The number is 217-300-2121, and we might play it on air. Then tune in Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m. on AM 580 and 6 p.m. on FM 90.9.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. About a quarter of all K-12 school districts in Illinois have now signed up to use the University of Illinois' saliva-based coronavirus test. The hope is that regular testing will help identify infections before they turn into outbreaks. To learn more, Illinois Newsroom's Christine Herman spoke with U of I epidemiologist Becky Smith.
Is there a one-size-fits-all, like this is what a K-12 school should be doing right now in order to be able to open safely, between mask wearing, putting kids in pods, social distancing to the extent that that's possible, and some amount of regular, frequent testing? You're shaking your head no.
The joke is that if you would ask an epidemiologist a question, our answer is always going to be, it depends. So we never believe in one-size-fits-all. The question is, what can you do effectively in your circumstances, and where are you? You know, if you're in Southern Illinois right now, we know there's a lot of infection going on right there, you might need a little bit more control than if you're in central Illinois and cases are kind of low. Although most of Illinois at this point is concerning. But if you're in Vermont, you might not need as much right now. But it's really a question of what you can make work for your circumstances. We're talking about layered mitigation. Obviously, you know, in a K through five school, podding is going to be super easy because the kids don't interact much anyways. So it's a lot easier to introduce a pod in that circumstance than in a high school where the kids are mixing classes because they all need different mixes of classes. So maybe in a high school, you can't pod, but you're going to do something else. So you really have to think about the practicality of all of these layered mitigations. It can't just be one thing.
And so what are the trade-offs for schools that are looking at the different testing options out there? And what's the benefit of doing the saliva-based PCR COVID test versus the Abbott Binax Now rapid antigen test? Because some schools say they're using one or the other or a combination of the two.
So the saliva-based PCR has two main advantages for K-12 schools that I see. One is that it's actually more sensitive before you become infectious, based on our data, so that it's very highly sensitive early in the infection. So you can find people, hopefully, before they've had a chance to spread. The other is that it's a lot easier to get kids to drool than to stick something up their nose once a week. And I know there was a lot of concern about the drooling, but kids manage it really well. So those are the advantages to the saliva. The advantage to the Binax Now is that it's fast. So I actually recommend that schools use both. It's not an either or, but the Binax Now is really useful if a kid comes to school with symptoms, because we know that those antigen tests are really sensitive at the time of infectiousness. So if somebody comes to school with symptoms, you can find out right now if they need to go home or not. Or if you're doing tests to stay, you can combine the PCR and the antigen test so that it's not all the PCR and then waiting 24 hours. You can actually use them both in combination for that test to stay program, which is a little bit easier on the school.
Let's talk about the test to stay component, which I understand allows kids to remain in in-person school even if they've been exposed to someone who tested positive, as long as they get a test on days 1, 3, 5, and 7 after that exposure and it comes back negative. Because I know since the start of the pandemic, people have wanted to know, if I'm exposed, can I just get a negative test and then go back to living my life? And the answer had always been no. But how is this different?
So the test to stay program, it's not one negative test. It's that you're testing every other day. So we know that it takes a couple of days to ramp up to infectiousness. And the idea of test to stay is that if we're testing you every other day, we're going to find you before you expose anybody else. And that's basically similar to something we were doing at the university. Last year, we called it Shield 3X, which is when we found a cluster of cases in a housing unit, in a house or a dorm, we would ask everybody in that housing unit to test every other day. Because the idea is that if you're testing that frequently, you don't even need to quarantine close contacts because you're going to find the case before it becomes infectious.
And the test to stay in that situation would either be the saliva test or the rapid antigen test?
Yeah, so we're recommending combinations of them. And I don't know what exactly combination they're really going with, but it would be generally probably a PCR and then an antigen and then a PCR.
So I've heard you speak on the 21st show about this, and I've heard it discussed elsewhere, that schools that reopened in person this past spring, in particular the ones that did certain mitigations like social distancing, pods, mask wearing, and I guess ventilation and other things, that they were able to operate safely. So if someone hears that and then they also hear like, oh, schools really, they should also be doing weekly testing, they might be a little confused. Like, wait, why would weekly testing be necessary? Because the schools say they're doing all these other things to try to make it safe for everyone to be here.
Yeah, and that is a good question. And sometimes we talk sometimes in infectious disease about the stochasticity of the system. And stochasticity is basically a fancy way of saying luck, that if you're lucky, you can get away without doing testing because nobody comes to school with a raging infection and takes their mask off at lunchtime and infects everybody sitting at the table with them. But relying on luck isn't what we like to do. So I would prefer to see some more mitigation so that we're not relying on just getting lucky as far as numbers. It's also important to remember that the schools that did really well last spring, most of them were not at 100% capacity. So now we're back with 100% capacity, kids filled up in the classroom. It's going to be a lot harder. And last spring was pre-Delta. And we know that Delta is more infectious and it moves faster. And that is really concerning. And what worked under the previous, even with Alpha, where we were really concerned about the transmissibility, isn't going to work with Delta. You need more.
I know you've said you don't make predictions and you don't want to make a forecast, but do you think schools will be able to stay open?
I hope so. I think the schools that are instituting the masks and the testing and the vaccinations among staff, encouraging vaccinations among staff and doing the ventilation, I think they will probably have a better chance at staying open than the schools that are choosing not to.
That's U of I epidemiologist Becky Smith speaking with Illinois Newsroom's Christine Herman. Urbana school officials say they'll use the saliva test once a week with all students grades 6 through 12 with parental consent. Unit 4 officials say shield testing will be used in the event of an outbreak, and anyone with symptoms can get a rapid antigen test. But for now, weekly testing is not being offered there. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says partly cloudy and cooler today with a chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm and a high of 83 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Maureen McKinney, and Christine Herman. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.